The future. The Revolutionary War rages on for 6 more years. General Washington's strategic escape after the Battle of Long Island in August of 1776 and his stunning victory at Trenton on December 26, 1776, after crossing the Delaware River with his army on Christmas evening, give the American troops hope as they face the many challenges that lie ahead. In 1777, the American victory at the Battle of Saratoga is a major turning point. The French now see that the new nation can succeed in fighting the British. The American army suffers terribly through a bitter winter at Valley Forge in 1778, but their commitment to the ideals of liberty and self-government do not falter. The French sign an alliance with the Americans on February 6, 1778, and intervene to help the American cause. On October 19, 1781, Lord Cornwallis surrenders to Generals Washington and Rochambeau at Yorktown, Virginia. 2 years later, the Treaty of Paris is signed, and the dream of American independence is realized. The cost for independence is high. Of the 200,000 men who served in the army and militia at some point during the war, nearly 25,000 lost their lives. There are no existing records to indicate whether Alexander Edwards fought in the Continental Army during the American Revolution. There are, however, many clues that tell us he was a wonderful uncle, father figure, and role model for his 9 nieces and nephews. When these children had nowhere else to turn, Alexander and Sarah took them in and loved and raised them like their very own. Alexander lived to see all his children grow well into adulthood. He died of yellow fever on September 24, 1798, at the age of 64. His wife, Sarah, survived him. Ben's sister Sally was married soon after the fighting ended. Her cousin, Rebecca, stood by her on that day, grinning from ear to ear. The groom was that fine young gentleman she had introduced Sally to one Sunday morning in April 1775, Paul Revere, Jr. The wedding took place on August 22, 1782. As Paul Revere, his wife Rachel, Alexander Edwards, and his wife Sarah looked on. As the years passed, Rebecca had even more reason to smile as the other prediction she made that Sunday morning in April also came true. Paul Jr. and Sally had 12 children. During this time, Paul Jr. ran the day-to-day operations of his father's silversmith shop and eventually manufactured church bells as a member of Paul Revere and Sons. When their first son was born on September 13, 1784, Sally and Paul Jr. recall the name that Rebecca had suggested the day they met in the New Brick Church. Both agreed it would be a fine name and a fine tribute to someone they both admired. A few days after the birth, Paul Revere Jr. held up his young son and, in a proud voice, said, "Alexander Edwards Revere, welcome to Boston." Rebecca Edwards, the likable young instigator of the Edwards family, was married several years after her cousin Sally. Her husband was Caleb Coolidge. For years, Ben's cousin Betsy looked for the clues he had given her about her future: a tall man with whiskers, the number 16, and the name Lincoln. One summer day, near the family home on Back Street, she met an intelligent young carpenter. For Betsy, it was love at first sight. When she learned his name, she nearly fainted. It was Jedediah Lincoln. They courted for over a year and were married on October 27, 1785. Betsy and Jedediah had 6 children. She, too, named her firstborn son after her beloved Uncle Alex. Alexander Edwards Lincoln was born on July 12, 1786. Betsy never failed to tease her cousin Ben about the 3 clues he had given her that never came to pass. Although his name was Lincoln, Jedediah was not a tall man, and he was never inclined to grow whiskers. As for the number 16 that Ben had seen through his spyglass, that never quite made sense either. Ben would be proven correct some 70 years later, long after he and his cousin Betsy had died. It was then that the vision he saw on that July afternoon in Boston finally made sense. In the year 1861, a tall man with whiskers, who also happened to be a relative of Jedediah Lincoln, became the 16th president of the United States. His name was Abraham Lincoln. It was his vision for the young nation that predicted a new birth of freedom. Ben Edwards, the 10-year-old boy who loved the ocean and sailing ships, became a cooper in Boston and spent his time making barrels near the wharves. The cabinet-making trade was better suited for his younger brother, Alexander, who followed in his uncle's footsteps. Ben never forgot the lessons he learned from his uncle Alex. He married Mary Polly Bangs on June 22, 1791. They had 5 children. Ben named his firstborn son Benjamin Edwards, after his grandfather, the mariner. He became a cooper like his father. Ben's second son was named Alexander. He became a blacksmith. The couple also had 2 daughters, Bathsheba and Marianne, and a 3rd son, Joseph Bragdon Edwards, who was born on December 29, 1799. Early copies of the Boston Directory list Ben as a cooper on Back Street and Ship Street. For a few years during this period, there are no listings for him. It is during this time, we believe, he finally realized his dream and worked as a cooper aboard sailing vessels departing from Boston Harbor. He may have taken his spyglass with him on these voyages as he continued his lifelong search for glimpses of the future. Ben died on June 9, 1808. According to family legend, the spyglass was passed on to his son, Joseph B. Edwards. Joseph was employed as a paver in Boston. City records from 1850 indicate that his household consisted of Joseph B., his wife, Sarah, 2 children, 20-year-old Mary Minahan of Ireland, and 15 persons with different last names, ages, and birthplaces. Joseph died in 1852. The family eventually moved from Boston and soon settled in 2 Connecticut towns, East Haddam and Naugatuck. Joseph's son, Benjamin, took the spyglass along. He gave it to his 10-year-old grandson, Philip, in 1905. Young Phil was captivated by his 70-year-old grandfather's tales of the American Revolution, the Civil War, and Abraham Lincoln, whom he had voted for twice. He also told Phil stories about his ancestor Ben, a cooper in Boston, who dreamed of working on sailing ships and traveling to distant shores. Phil learned that through hard work and persistence, Ben reached his goal and made his dream come true. Young Phil loved his grandpa's stories, and he even kept pictures of Abe Lincoln and sailing ships in his room. In the summer of 1905, Phil began to get visions of his own through his ancestor's spyglass. For the most part, he kept these visions to himself, but one morning in July, he decided to share a few of them with 2 of his closest friends.